Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to Game Day, Fantasy Sports Today. It's week three, and we're fired up. I've been hammering on Bud Light for 3 days. I'm not a Browns fan or anything. I just like Bud Light. But the fridges are open, guys, and we're going to get started with breaking down week three. A lot of injuries, obviously, to talk about, as always. But first, I'd like to welcome into the show FSWA Hall of Famer, Scott the King Engel. You find him on Twitter at Scott E. Roto X. He's the managing director of Roto Experts. We'll go through his rankings today, Scotty. A nice one for the Browns to finally get that monkey off their back. And Baker Mayfield is going to be a popular pickup in some leagues.
Yeah, good morning. Got you all ready for Sunday at rotoexperts.com. Published my new angle I this morning along with my updated lineup ranks where I break down every game and give you tips, not just the game breakdowns, but also some of my DFS betting tips. But, you know, as far as the Browns go, you know, Baker Mayfield is the same guy I saw during the preseason. Very crisp mechanics, quick decision makings, good downfield throws, and even throws well on the run. I don't see how they cannot start him. I think Hugh Jackson's just being coy and not letting on to the opponents about who he's going to start for the next game. But this kid has a very quick setup and release for a young guy. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, Jim, the one thing I'd say is I've been a little bit more lukewarm on Baker than, and even frankly, Pat Mahomes than some other people out there, simply because there have not been a lot of long-term success cases of Big 12 quarterbacks. But the one thing I was never critical about regarding Baker Mayfield is how accurate he is, and he showed it off big time on Thursday night as opposed to his counterpart on the Jets, Sam Darnold, who had a rough night, particularly throwing two picks late.
Yeah, it was a rough game for Darnold, especially going up against Mayfield. Had to put a little bit of a burr under his saddle there. Look, you know, Mayfield would have had even better numbers without the drop passes.
I agree.
Think they had, you know, three passes that were dropped, including Landry dropped in one, which really doesn't happen very often at all. So those numbers really would have been much more increased with those catches, especially if Landry went in for the touchdown there. So I like what I saw out of Mayfield. I like what I saw out of the rest of the team with him out there. You could definitely sense the spark change once he stepped on the field. These kids, they like him. They want him on the field. And, you know, sometimes you really just have to go with that.
I totally agree. Even Hugh Jackson admitted to his sideline reporter that you could feel the electricity in the building change. He was 17 of 23. As you said, he also had a couple of drops there. The first five throws targeted to Jarvis Landry on Thursday night were incomplete passes, and then Baker went 8 of 10 to him for the rest of the night, and to Jim's point, he even dropped one. So Baker was deadly accurate there. I think that there's no way they can obviously go back to Taylor in my mind, but it's the Browns, so the door is always open for an odd possibility. But it could be a start of good things to come for the Browns. So on to week three. We got a lot of big matchups, as always, in the NFL this week, but some of them are going to be tainted by injury news. And I guess the largest piece of news that we've really gotten in the last 24 hours is that Marcus Mariota will be on the bench again, Scotty. So you got Blaine Gabbert in there going up against the Jaguars defense that is probably licking their chops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess.
Go ahead, Jim. Yeah, I think Scott's got a technical issue, so go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, no worries. This is definitely a game where Jacksonville at home going up against this Tennessee offense with Blaine Gabbert is definitely licking their chops. But at the same time, this could be a trap game for Jacksonville just because they're 2-0. You know, this is a game that they're Vegas says they should absolutely win with a 9-point spread there. I don't like the big spread, but the low over-under. They're talking, you know, they're looking at a small value game here. And when you have such a high point spread with such a low-scoring game, that really gets to be a tight bet. What are your thoughts on that?
It is kind of interesting because, to your point, you know, it's a 10-point spread with a 40 total. So let me do the quick math there. Would it be 25-15 basically is what they're saying? You know, clearly scores don't end up like that very often, but somewhere in that range, 26-14 kind of game. I guess that score, when I say it out loud, 26-14, isn't that unreasonable. A bunch of field goals, could be a garbage touchdown late. I know what you're saying about it being a trap game. I'd probably be more confident in that if you had a healthy Mariota out there, because I'm actually a big believer in the Titans. It has not started off well for them for the preseason through the first two games. They get a nice one last week, but it's not like they played great last week. You know, Blaine Gabbert just took care of the ball, and they got out of there with a win. Obviously, Delaney Walker's out for the year. You may have Rishard Matthews coming back this week, so perhaps he's declaring he's 100%. So maybe a little bit more weaponry for Blaine Gabbert, but nothing that moves the needle for me to say that they can win the game. So we'll continue through some of these other injuries.
Well, I just want to be clear. I'm not saying there's really a big chance that they win the game. I just think that point spread might be a little too big is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I rarely see the Jags that are nearly a double-digit point favorite and expect that they're going to cover. Ironically, they did it against the Patriots last week. But in general, that's not a team that I take with a heavy point total for some of the reasons that you mentioned. But they do have Fournette back, most likely, and we'll keep going around these injuries. So Saints-Falcons, Devonta Freeman continues to be out there. So Tevin Coleman, a clear start in most leagues, Jim, and a very valuable DFS play, still one of the best DFS plays on the entire slate today.
Yes, yeah, I have my hesitation here at this point. You know, New Orleans has actually played quite well against running backs so far this season. In PPR leagues, they've only given up 12.6 points on average a game. So it's not like, you know, they're getting run over. Of course, they played Tampa Bay in week one, which at this point we know doesn't have a running game. But they did play Cleveland in week two, who Carlos Hyde just had a big game this past week. You know, so he gives them a little bit of something here. I just think they're playing much better against the run right now than they are against the pass. I'm a little colder on Tevin Coleman this week than most.
Yeah, understandable. Bengals, obviously, Joe Mixon's still out there. Center Billy Price is out as well. On the flip side of that game, Greg Olsen continues to be out, as Curtis Samuel. But back to the Bengals, Gio Bernard becomes a very valuable play in DFS and a guy that was either inserted into starting lineups or was picked up off of waiver wires in certain leagues. So Gio Bernard back in good graces in fantasy players for both seasonal and daily purposes.
Plus, we could be looking at Mixon missing more time than originally thought. You know, there's some people out there that speculate he could miss up to 7 weeks.
Tough.
I'm not sure which side I fall on that, but the possibility exists, which is a concern. So that really makes Bernard a really good value at this point. And if he goes out and has a really good game this week, I wouldn't be surprised at all if next week I'm telling you all to sell high.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Giants, Texans, they rule out a couple of defenders in Eli Apple and Olivier Vernon. The Vernon thing is really impacting them, Jim. You're a Giants fan. The Vernon thing is really impacting them. The Giants do have multiple problems with this roster, but the Vernon thing is really holding them back defensively.
Well, actually, they've played good defense, considering the fact that they don't have their best defensive lineman or whatever you want to call him in this setup. But, I still think of him as a defensive lineman, and he's absolutely their best. He's the guy who's going to put the most pressure on any quarterback. So without that guy on any team is always a problem. Losing Eli Apple, is that also going to be a problem? He's been playing pretty well. Webb is going to fill in for him. Don't really trust him. I actually think that really pushes Will Fuller's value up a ton, because I think Fuller is going to run right by Webb a lot in this game. And I could see Watson going to him a ton. So, you know, while the Giants defense has been playing well, those losses are just going to be devastating, I think, to them. The last two pieces of the puzzle, and it's just not going to work.
Yeah. So, Titans, we talked about Marcus Mariota. You got to have Blaine Gabbert in there going up against the Jags. Jack Conklin, tackle. Keep an eye on that for the purposes of Derrick Henry, who's got a very low projection this week, and Deion Lewis, who's actually very cheaply priced on DFS sites. I say the Jack Conklin thing because that could impact their running game in some way. The Jaguars are obviously a very tough defense to deal with, and if one of the tackles is out, you're going to have a tough time. But let me flip to the other side on this one too, Jim, on the Jaguars. Fournette is coming back from the hamstring injury, but as you just stated before, relatively low total, according to Vegas, 10-point favorites. If this thing starts to get away from the Titans, couldn't you see them potentially taking it easy on Fournette and putting Yeldon, who's also a little banged up, but Corey Grant, who actually had some work last week, you think that's a possibility that Fournette, you have to temper expectations for him?
I would absolutely temper expectations. He's not 100% yet. Tennessee has actually played very well against the run, stopping both Miami and Houston. I mean, not crazy, you know, running attacks there, but decent enough, but they've stopped them. Haven't given up a rushing touchdown or a receiving touchdown to running backs yet. So I think Tennessee plays him well. I think Fournette not being 100% hurts him. I think Yeldon doesn't even see the field, even if he has to. I think you are right. Corey Grant is the guy they're going to turn to next, who looked pretty good last week. So I think they have faith in him being able to step in and do what he has to do in a game that, you know, they're easily expected to win at home.
I have Corey Grant in a very deep dynasty league that you were once in with me, and I have to play him as my starting running back today because I've got all kinds of issues there. So it's finally worked out where I can play him, but I don't have high expectations, but he might actually earn me double-digit points here. The Jaguars probably are probably going to have a quick trigger finger on Fournette if this gets away from the Titans today. So another guy I heard you talking
actually,
about.
I just want to interrupt you just for 1 second. The running back in this game I want the most is Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to try and get him the ball in space quite often in this one.
This is not a Derrick Henry game.
The running back is a short passing attack. So I like Deion Lewis a lot in this one.
Yeah. So going down to the next game, there's a lot of injuries, so that's why I'm doing this game by game. Marquise Goodwin back for the Niners. I heard you talking about it just before the show with Scotty. So a good one in a very high total game. Marquise Goodwin, Jimmy G gets one of his weapons back. You figure he'll be inserted right into the game plan here. As soon as he's healthy, they need to get him the ball because it's going to create some up-tempo opportunities for them. Plus, the Chiefs have not shown any ability to cover anyone yet.
No, absolutely. If he's on the field, you got to play him. Look, the one thing we know about Garoppolo is he looks for the guys he trusts. And right now, that's Goodwin and Kittle. So these guys are both going to be heavily involved in this game plan, as no matter what, we're looking at a shootout here. Vegas has them over under at 55. You know, both high implied point totals for both teams. I think this is definitely a team that you're going to see a lot of stacks in DFS this weekend with both these teams.
Yeah, in fact, the ownership is going to be so high on this game, I'm probably looking at a different game to stack, although I don't know exactly which one that is yet. Saints Falcons is an opportunity there for stacking.
That's the one I'm stacking, actually. Chargers, we'll talk about that later, but
Chargers Rams is a possibility there. And the Monday Nighter isn't on your main slates, but Monday Night Showdown is going to be pretty popular with a lot of a high point total there as well at 54. As we continue down through some of these other games, let's see. Oh, LeSean McCoy banged up against the Vikings in an extremely odd point spread. You don't see this a lot in regular season games where the Vikes are a 17-point favorite at home. But LeSean McCoy is banged up. Dalvin Cook is out. And you talk about the running back you want to own the most, it ends up being Latavius Murray. He's an excellent value here for DFS and certainly a guy that I have on two teams and I'll be inserting into my starting lineup in seasonal lineups.
Oh, absolutely. You got to think that he sees the ball at least 20 times in this matchup against a Buffalo defense that hasn't been able to stop any running backs at all yet. He's going to run out the clock, you would expect, if Minnesota gets up to an early lead, which they should. Yeah, and again, this is another crazy game with a huge point spread, but a very low over under total. The 17 points and the 40.5 is, you know, it's just a crazy thing. But you could easily see this game being a 33-3 type of game.
Yeah. Like that probably lines up. Yeah. It's a really crazy game there that Vegas has so little faith in the Bills that that's how it lines up. So the last game we'll do before the break. So Colts-Eagles, a whole ton of players are out here or banged up. The Colts are going to be missing a defensive tackle, Danico Autry, left tackle, Anthony Costanzo, tight end, Jack Doyle, running back, Marlon Mack, other additional questionable players. On the Philly side of things, Jay Ajayi, Darren Sproles are out. Corey Clement is questionable, yet you really want to play him in this one because he should be able to see a bunch of carries. Alshon Jeffrey still banged up. So this is a weird one with Wentz coming back and a bunch of his options are out and Luck is missing some options as well.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy feel, but you know, I there are some good plays that come out of this game. I love Eric Ebron this week with Doyle out, and now they're saying Doyle could miss multiple weeks. Ebron steps right into a great starting role there, so I'm really big on him this week.
And I love Aguilar, except that Jordan Matthews is now signed, and they're thinking about moving him into the slot. So we'll come back. We'll talk about those games later on FST. It's Game Day Edition.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Now this is football music. a little George Michael. Oh, this is Wham, I guess.
This is a song that makes me think of Greg Sussman. Actually, I hope I never see him dance again.
Yeah, so that's the way we're kicking off the segment here. Again, if you are hitting us up on Twitter, please do so. At FNTSY Radio, I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott, as I said earlier, Scott E, at Scott E, Roto X, EX at the end, and then Jim Day's at Fantasy Taz, TAZ. We can take some calls a little bit later in the show. I'll tell you when that's going to happen. But thank you for listening to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app on TuneIn Radio or on iHeartRadio. We appreciate all the listeners and any that are out there via terrestrial radio stations. We appreciate that as well. So we're going to go through Scotty's rankings here in just a couple of minutes. Let me get some weather updates here for you. There's really not too much out there that is cause for concern. A little bit of light rain in Washington and Philly. And then we got a few dome games there too, but yeah, that's it. That's really it. Just some light rain, no impact from any major weather that's going to become a problem. So it's nice to have September football where that's not really an issue. So we'll get back to the injuries real quick before we get to Scott's QB rankings. But the game we're up to next was the Packers game, Scotty, and that one is in Washington where they get a little bit of light rain. Now, Rodgers is probably going to play, but he's listed as questionable. He's not 100%, but he put up 29 points against the Vikings last week.
Yeah, you know, he actually looked nimble in the pocket while doing this. On paper, it looks like a daunting matchup. The Redskins have actually allowed 247 yards per game total, which is best so far in the NFL, but as long as Aaron Rodgers lives and breathes, you know, you have to start him here. Davante Adams, a good matchup for him regardless. I think Randall Cobb might have trouble breaking off a big play, but I think Rodgers should be fine working to his other three receivers.
So on the other side of things, Washington, okay, they're missing a couple of – they're missing a guard, missing a safety there. Chargers at Rams, Joey Bosa continues to be out. Joe Barksdale, tackle, is out. Travis Benjamin, Antonio Gates, Derek Watt, all questionable. On the Rams side of things, we have a kicker change. So those of you that had Greg Zuerlein didn't realize that he came out of the game last week. Make sure you pick up Sam Ficken or whatever other kickers are out there. And Mark Barron, linebacker, Mark Barron, unlikely to play. So conceivably, now they have the best defensive line out there, Jim, but conceivably, this opens up a little bit in the middle for the Chargers. Now, is that Melvin Gordon? Is that Keenan Allen? Remains to be seen. But Mark Barron, a very productive linebacker.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, this is going to be a game that the Rams are highly expected to win, 7.5 point favorites at home. You know, you got it, but it's a game that you can't count out the Chargers in. I'm sorry. I mean, I know this defense has been playing outrageous for the Rams, but again, Oakland and Arizona, only two played teams they've played against yet. So really no big matchups, whereas the Chargers have played KC in week one. And of course that was a struggle. And then week two, they had Buffalo. So both sides of the line for them. I think the Chargers are being vastly underrated in this one. I think if nothing else, I see a lot of garbage time points if the Rams do get up early, because I think Phillip Rivers could throw the ball 45 times in this one, maybe even more. So that really gives some value to the receivers on the Chargers, even though people don't want to think of it that way.
Yeah. So, Scotty, we'll go over one more game simply because the Seahawks, and you have as good an insight into them as anyone. You have Earl Thomas coming back after missing practice with a personal day. Doug Baldwin clearly out, but Ethan Posich is out with an ankle injury, and KJ Wright has been ruled out yet again. Justin Britt and Michael Kendricks are game-time decisions. So the offensive line banged up, which was having its issues anyway, and now, it's good that Earl Thomas is coming back, but clearly some injuries there. On the Cowboys, you got a bunch of guys that are questionable. Travis Frederick still out for the Cowboys. So any thoughts there? I mean, Seahawks really not an ideal game. Dallas is one of the Dallas' strengths, their defensive line. They got two offensive linemen that are banged up and or out.
Well, I think there's going to be a low-scoring game. I'll definitely be taking the under here. And I like the Dallas defense as a start. You know, Jermaine Defetti was a turnstile going against DeMarcus Lawrence. But the Seahawks do get back one of their best run blockers in DJ Fluker. So I think within the next 2 weeks, they're going to try to establish Rashad Penny in the ground game. I think Wilson could have a decent but not outstanding game. Maybe two touchdown passes. Will Disley is a pretty good tight end start. I think he's starting to show that it's no fluke. On the other side of the ball, I think Cole Beasley is a sneaky play. The Seattle secondary, Mitch Trubisky, couldn't take advantage of them last week. I think Dak Prescott can. Bobby Wagner is back, but KJ Wright is not. I think Ezekiel Elliott still gets in the end zone. But this could be a low-scoring game here, though.
I could see that. I could really see that being very low scoring. So before we get over to the quarterbacks, I want to tell you that if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, and we'll go over some of our lineups later, but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. So forget having to create multiple lineups and ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the cash. Just invest in players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. So there's no more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against. It's just you and the prop that you choose, Jim Day. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So on to the QBs. And the guy at the top of everybody's list this week is Patty Mahomes. A very high total game. The total has actually come down over the course of the week, but it started at 57.5. So it's right now settling in around 55 at last check for me. So you got Pat Mahomes in at number one, Tommy Brady at number two, which I like that call. I think Brady has a big week this week. He's been very slow start to the season for Brady, which isn't all that typical, but Scott has him here at number two. Drew Brees at number three. Roethlisberger at number four, carrying a high total on Monday night. Aaron Rodgers at number five. We talked about him. Scott put it perfectly. As long as he's alive, he's in your lineup. Cam Newton at six. Fitz at seven. And Kirk Cousins comes in at number eight. Jim, Kirk Cousins is an interesting discussion this week because they are heavily favored, but they could just easily take the air out of the ball here, try to get out of here with a win because they'll probably put so much heat on Josh Allen, he may want to retire in his second game. So thoughts on the first eight, any disagreements or anything? You got two quarterbacks from the Monday night game there in the top eight.
No, and, you know, look, you can't fault any of these guys. I mean, Roethlisberger not known for putting up big games on the road, but with all the turmoil that's going on with this team this week, this year, I think he really tries to come out and establish this offense again, get the ball a ton to Antonio Brown, keep James Conner involved in this game. So, I can't find fault with any of these guys. Cousins, like you said, the talk is that maybe they don't have to throw as often in the second half if they're up big, but the fact of the matter is, to get there, they'll have to get up big. And I think that really plays in his hands as well, either way. So I think, you know, he could still throw for 200 yards and three touchdowns and put up points that way to where, you know, people out there considering sitting him, I wouldn't do that.
Like an Andy Dalton, like a good Andy Dalton game. Scott, one guy I'd say here, and has anybody ever have a quieter 335 three touchdown performance than Cam Newton did last week? Because so many guys blew it out, like Mahomes and Roethlisberger, nobody even mentioned that Cam had a huge game and they lost. That's probably contributed to it as well.
Yeah, and I think it could be another high scoring game this week. The Bengals have allowed 695 passing yards in the first two games, so I think, you know, they're ripe for the picking again today, and that makes Devin Funchess a good wide receiver three and Cam Newton a must start.
We'll continue through Scott's rankings. Number nine, Deshaun Watson, a popular DFS play this week, as is the next guy, Matt Ryan. Matty Ice with two rushing touchdowns last week, amazing. Jimmy Garoppolo passed for 206 yards with two touchdowns and no picks for a 118 rating last week, and we already mentioned he gets Marquise Goodwin back. You got Scott's guy, Russ Wilson, at number 12, Matty Stafford at number 13. I was listening to the Daily Roto podcast last night and this morning, and they were saying that Stafford missed a couple of guys last week, and had he not, he might have had a 400-yard, 4 or 5 touchdown game. He missed Marvin Jones twice on big plays. Jared Goff comes in at number 14. He can be an interesting DFS tourney play. You know, the good and bad stuff about Goff is that, Jim, he's showing himself to be very adept at this particular offense. He's been accurate, but he's not putting up monster totals. Obviously, they have Todd Gurley on their team, so they don't need to throw it that much. But he's been very efficient. The interesting thing, though, is he could have that kind of game that you're talking about with Cousins, where he's only throwing for 200 yards, but he might have four touchdowns because he's got three wide receivers that can all get after it.
Well, and look, I mean, we could say that all day, but he did against Arizona last week in a game that was the same thing, 34-0 final win, but he threw, you know, 32 passes for 354 yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to get after it no matter what. But the problem is you don't really see him have more attempts than, you know, the 32 to 35 range like some of these other guys where they're throwing 45, 50 balls a game. And that's always going to cap his fantasy value.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is good enough, Scott, that they're always they're gonna basically limit. They can control the ball so well that in some instances, it almost limits their play count. Now, last year, they ran the second most plays in the whole league behind only the Jaguars. So I think there'll be an ability there. But as far as pass plays are concerned, like Jim said, he's probably he's going to rarely be putting it up 40 times this season.
Yeah, you know, the matchup is good, but I think you have to be a little skeptical about the weaponry.
Yeah, so here's my conundrum in one league. And it starts with the next guy that you have ranked at number 15, Andrew Luck. He had three touchdowns and a pick the last time he played the Eagles. But he's going against Carson Wentz, who obviously, as everybody knows, is coming off the ACL injury this week. You have Andrew Luck at 15. You have Wentz at 21. So according to your rankings, you clearly would play Luck over Wentz. But, Jim, I have these two guys on one team. I have Luck and Wentz as my decision makers, so as my quarterbacks, and I'll have a decision to make a lot of different weeks, I suspect. Because the Colts defense, despite the fact that they played well early, isn't very good, and I think Luck will have to throw the ball a lot this year. But what would you do here? Would you take Luck over Wentz?
I would. Look, you know, Philly's secondary has not played very well. I mean, they just got torched by Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they did.
Luck is not going to stretch the field deep. We know that. At least he hasn't so far. But it doesn't matter when you're completing, you know, 65-70% of those short passes. You can continue to move up and down the field. I think we see a lot of that one in this matchup today. And I expect Luck's totals to be pretty good. Not saying that Wentz won't have good totals against an Indianapolis secondary who's played better than expected so far, but we just don't know yet. First game back, we don't know how rusty he's going to be. So I get where Scott's going with this one. You know, it could easily flip-flop in end totals by the end of the game. I'm not saying it won't, but right now, without having seen Wentz yet with this offense, it's just hard to really count on him 1 week.
Scott, is part of this the fact that Philly's so banged up too? I mean, they're missing two running backs. Their Jeffrey may not play again. So there's, forget the fact that he's just coming back, he's also missing weapons.
Yeah, what I always say, when you're in doubt, you know, always go with the healthy player. And you know, this is Wentz's first game back after a very long layoff here. The Colts defense has actually played better than people have expected. They're 10th in points allowed so far, and held Washington to just 9 points and healthy Alex Smith to just 9 points last week. So I think it's better, you know, to pull back and sit these guys out here. Sit a guy like Carson Wentz out. And you just don't know how he's going to look. It's been a really long layoff.
So Alex Smith comes in at number, Phil Rivers at 16. Tough matchup for him, obviously. Alex Smith at 17. Listen to this stat, Jim. Since 2016, he's one of three in the NFL with a 67%+ completion percentage, 67.6, and a 95%+ quarterback rating, 98.2. I say a lot that I defend Alex Smith a lot. I think he's way better than people give him credit for. His record as an NFL quarterback is really good. He's sneaky athletic. It's just that I think he's developed a reputation for being too conservative. He doesn't make big throws down the field. And I think just people get frustrated with the cap he has on fantasy. But he always provides his floor because he runs a little bit. He's always providing a floor for you in fantasy. So I'm not saying he's a QB1 this week, but I am saying that he's always a viable start in Superflex and two QB leagues, and he's always a little bit of a sneaky play in DFS.
See, but look, I like Alex Smith. I like Alex Smith a lot more than most people, because whenever he's been given the chance to take the training wheels off and let the ball fly, he does it well. He was one of the best deep passers last year once they let him air it out. You know, let him play his game. The problem is he doesn't have the weapons around him now that he had last year in Kansas City. Crowder isn't doing much, doesn't seem to be creating a lot of separation. You know, we're not really seeing Paul Richardson take the top off defenses, which is what he was brought in to do. Josh Doctson is, you know, he's a guy that shows a little flash every once in a while. The rest of the time just disappears. So he just doesn't have those weapons around him. The one thing we're seeing from him now is that he's literally going to his running backs and tight ends more than his wide receivers. And whenever you see that, it's really hard to count on that for fantasy production.
Yeah, to rip through a few more, he's got Dalton at 18, Bortles at 19. He had Darnold at 20, Wentz 21, Tyrod, Ryan Tannehill, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco kind of round out the rest of the QBs, I would say, of those groups. I didn't see where Deshaun Watson was. I know I must have skipped over him. Oh, he had him at number nine.
He was up at number nine.
So, so a couple of sneaky plays, value plays in DFS. Watson on DraftKings and Matt Ryan on DraftKings are good ones. Their price is depressed a little bit. But Ryan Tannehill and Blake Bortles are interesting. The Dolphins have an implied total, Scott, of over 23. He's a little bit of a lean on FanDuel, but Tannehill playing well to start the season. They have a shot to be 3-0 here if they beat the Raiders.
Yeah, I think they will. You know, they're probably my most comfortable bet of the day. You know, I'll take them with the 3 points. But, you know, the way that I think Kenyon Drake is really going to be the featured guy for them today. I think they're going to be able to run the ball very, very effectively. You know, the Raiders, only 2 sacks and 1 takeaway, allowed 265 rushing yards so far, the third highest total in the league. And that'll set up RPO and play action for Ryan Tannehill, but I never expect a ton of upside with his kind of weaponry. I think this could be like a 20 to 13 kind of game.
Sharp bettors are on the Dolphins hard for like a month before the season. It's looking good. We'll be right back with running backs after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back on FST Game Day Edition. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yeah, if you're listening all day today, I'm like here for we're all here for like most of it. But I'm here. We're here until 10 Eastern. Mike, Scott, and Jim, and then Lineup Lock Live. So I stay here. I'll be with Corey Parson and filling in for Gabe Morency today. Is Chris Ventura getting called up to the big leagues on game day? Chris Ventura, that should be interesting. I know he's a jersey wearer. Let's see what kind of jersey he's wearing. And then, any comments, Scott, about Chris Ventura coming in off the bench?
Good for him. Next man up, right?
Yeah, that's right. Just like, yeah. That's like a coaching mantra right there. Fantasy Football Live will air from 1 to 8. You'll start out with Corey Parson and Ventura and Chris Welsh coming in for injuries and live score updates. And then it switches over at 4 o'clock Eastern to Joe Galina and Cam Stewart with George Kurtz coming in for live scores, injuries, and performance updates. And Chris Pavona. Is Chris Pavona on air? Is Chris Pavona producing? Oh, look at that. So
he's on air.
Good stuff. So when is he? He's there for the back half of Fantasy Football Live?
Obviously, it's the back half as Bavona's, you know.
There you go. So we're mixing it up there. So Fantasy Football Rewind then is with these two fine gentlemen from 8 to 10 Eastern, Scott Engel and Jim Day. So they'll give you all the recaps and all the updates. So at the end of the day, what is one thing from a fantasy standpoint that you can expect that you'll be able to say, we'll go with Jim first? That you're going to be talking about it in about 12 hours.
Going to be talking about how Nyheim Hines went out and caught 8 passes today for 79 yards.
It. That's the kind of thing I was looking for. Perfect. Way down the list of things I had expected to say, but I like that. How about you, Scotty? Go a little bit deep like Jim did. Something that you think that could happen today that maybe not everybody's talking about.
That not everybody's talking about? Well, I was thinking of something that everybody was talking about.
All right, so give me that first.
Very important. That, you know, Kirk Cousins is going to throw 3 touchdown passes, and it's not going to matter if he sits in the second half. Everybody's overanalyzing this and saying, well, what if Cousins sits in the second half? Oh, I won't get good fantasy numbers. If he's sitting in the second half, it's because he's put up good fantasy numbers, and he's gotten them to that point. That's what people seem to conveniently forget when talking about Kirk Cousins. A lot of times a quarterback will throw 3 or 4 touchdown passes, and that's why he sits in the second half. Nobody puts up those 4. Very often, if a guy has a 3-4 touchdown game, he's not doing it at all throughout the game. Yeah. You know, the Pat Mahomes thing is rare where he's dropping dimes for like 4 quarters. You know, if this is going to be a blowout, that's because Kirk Cousins got them there.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
How about Lat Murray? What if Lat Murray comes out of the game? Who's likely to pick up some carries if Lat Murray sits at all in a third quarter, fourth quarter?
Well, yeah. Well, at that point, it's almost a punt situation.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, that's absolutely a possibility as well. But if he comes out, then you got to expect Mike Boone to get a little bit of touches here. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they turn to Rock Thomas. Rock Thomas was a preseason guy that they really liked. And, you know, you could see him getting involved in this. But, you know, at that point, I think Mike Boone is the guy that gives him the best shot to do anything.
So we're doing Scott's rankings again, the exclusive Edge package. Please go to rotoexperts.com. You can view all the rankings. You can purchase the exclusive Edge in-season package. But we'll do the PPR rankings. Normally, I'd go 1 through 24, and we'll do that in some way. But I think the best way to start it is really to bounce around to some of the backups that have been out there, because those are the big stories for fantasy football players. So we were just talking about one in Latavius Murray. Scott, you've adjusted him all the way up to the 12th running back this week with Dalvin Cook being ruled out. So you obviously like his opportunities here and him to finish in the RB1 range.
Yeah, you know, Latavius Murray doesn't quite have the speed like he does in his rookie year, but he's a big back with good vision, good balance, can break tackles, get a little bit of momentum once he gets to the second level of defenders. And, you know, he should have a lot of work today. You know, give Latavius the opportunity to be what they call in the NFL a rhythm back. A rhythm back is a guy where you keep handing him the ball and then he gains more momentum. And I think that's what Latavius Murray can be with Dalvin Cook out of the way.
It is pretty interesting that we have three guys here that are RB1s that started in week one as backups, but it is indicative of how deep those three teams are at the position. So we're obviously talking about the Vikings with Cook and Murray, and Jim will also talk now about Scott's number 8 running back, Tevin Coleman, who backed up Devontae Freeman. I thought Coleman was a better value all throughout draft season, and now he's proving to be a really important value for fantasy owners, not just on DFS, but seasonal. He's a must start.
Oh, absolutely. At this point, you know, you're looking at a guy who's playing very well on an offense that, you know, is playing pretty well, going up against a defense that hasn't done much of anything yet. New Orleans expected to be a good defense this year after what they did last year. So far, it hasn't really come to fruition for them, but they have been pretty good against running backs. Again, you know, you have to temper those expectations, because week one, they went against Tampa Bay, who, you know, at this point doesn't have a running attack, and Cleveland, who, while they have Hyde and Duke Johnson not really getting involved, Hyde definitely being the guy there, he scored on them last week. But other than that, I mean, they've only given up 12.6 PPR points to running backs average in two games. So I think Coleman is a guy that could be a letdown today. He's going to get the chances and he should do well, but it won't surprise me at all if he comes out and, you know, gets you like 8 or 9 fantasy points either.
Scott, Jim said something there that stuck with me, in that Tampa doesn't really have a rushing attack yet. And isn't that the thing that we might have missed all during the preseason? Clearly, none of us talked about Fitz enough. We knew he was viable in 2 QB leagues to pick up while Jameis was out. But the fact that they can't really run the ball, doesn't matter if it's Peyton Barber or Ronald Jones or anybody else, they just got to keep throwing it. And Fitz has done that. It may not last for too much longer, but maybe that's one of the things we missed. I know it's a slight divergence from the running back position, but it's really stuck with Jim when he said that to me. We focused so much on how valuable Peyton Barber might be or Ronald Jones down the road that we didn't stop to think, well, maybe they can't run it at all.
Yeah, maybe they can't, but I think Peyton Barber averaging 2.6 yards per carry, eventually they're going to have to give Ronald Jones the crack here, because, you know, they can't continue to do this. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick just became the third quarterback in NFL history with 400-plus passing yards and 4 TDs in 2 consecutive games. The other two were Dan Marino and Billy Volek. So distinguished and undistinguished competition there. As far as Tevin Coleman goes, major shootout today, although, you know, the one caveat I will throw in is that sometimes you expect divisional games to go one way and once in a while they go the other there. So that's something you have to remember. But, you know, we're going to like this game for DFS stacks, obviously. And with the Saints allowing 428 yards per game, even if Tevin Coleman doesn't rush for 100 yards, he's going to get a chance or two to punch it in from the, you know, to finish off scoring drive. So I love Tevin Coleman today.
You opened a huge, huge scab for me by dropping the stat about Billy Volek, Scotty. Because I had an undefeated team in 2004, and I got bumped from the playoffs because of one of the Billy Volek games. He threw for 400 yards and four touchdowns and knocked me out. I was the one seed and undefeated, got a bye, and the Billy Volek game knocked me out. It was as stunning a loss as you could have in fantasy football. So the last guy I was going to mention is James Conner. Scott has him at number six. He's yet more depth to the Le'Veon Bell saga, which at this point I'm just assuming it's going to be week 10. November 13th is the deadline, but you know that could change at any point. I'm just assuming that's going to be it, Jim.
Yeah, no, I'm with you at this point. It could happen any day, but right now I'm going with the same assumption, week 10. And, you know, the one thing I tell everybody, if you have Bell, if you're still holding Bell at this point, hold him, keep him, because you'll still want him from week 10 on. Yeah. He'll be a great play for you through your playoffs if you make it that far. So, you know, he's a guy right now I'm recommending either hold or buy low on.
Yeah. All right, so we'll go back to the top of the list. You have Gurley at number one, Kamara at number two. They are clearly the top values, top projections in fantasy football at the position this week. Zeke Elliott at number three, Chris McCaffrey at four. Caught 14 passes last week, I believe. Melvin Gordon at five, Connor six, Saquon Barkley at seven. So DFS, Kamara Gurley at the top. Chris McCaffrey is a very popular or very good projection, I should say. On DraftKings, I do think he'll be popular as well. But that second tier of Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Melvin Gordon, and we already talked about Tevin Coleman, those guys are dropped down a little bit on price, and people may not own them as much. So you might be looking at tournament plays for those types of guys because Kamara, Gurley, and McCaffrey on DraftKings are going to be so popular and so highly owned. Scott?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I think I think you put it very well. You know, the running back position's like very top heavy this week. I think once you get outside of say, you know, the top nine or so, everything's very dicey. So if you got one of those top running backs, and you look at a guy like, you know, you were talking about James Conner there. You know, so far he is actually leading the NFL in scrimmage yards. So that's something to remember.
Yeah,
too.
He is. 0-1-1 didn't do anything for me as a Steelers fan, but the next couple of guys, I want to give you a chance to comment on this guy too, Scott. You have Kareem Hunt at 9, but you said Kenyon Drake at number 10. You really like him this week.
Yeah, like I mentioned, 265 rushing yards allowed by the Raiders so far, third in the NFL. You know, the versatility. I think he's Frank Gore's still there, but I think Drake makes the most of every touch today.
Jim, you concerned Kareem Hunt, two targets in 2 weeks. They seem to ignore him a little bit in the red zone. You concerned? He's a first-round draft pick.
Oh, you have to be. Absolutely. At this point, you have to be. He's not getting utilized like he was last year with the short passing game, getting him out in the flat, letting him do what he does in open spaces, how he created most of those big plays. So, you know, you're not going to get a ton of that from him just rushing. They need to get him involved in the passing game. My concern is with Mahomes, such a raw quarterback, while he loves to throw it down the field, he's not yet as strong a quarterback intellectually where he can take the time to go through three or four reads and come back to that running back, which is hurting Hunt.
Guy you're more concerned about, Scott, Kareem Hunt or David Johnson, who you have at number 11? Excuse me.
I think I'm concerned more about David Johnson. Because, you know, he's facing a team with a good run defense in Chicago. You know, they've shut down opposing running backs so far. With Kareem Hunt, you know, they can still, you know, drive down to the, you know, to the one, the three, et cetera, you know, and just let him take it in what could be a more competitive game. So I think Hunt has a better chance to score a touchdown. But, look, despite what the numbers say, I think, you know, that they're going to try to get David Johnson unleashed here, even though it seems like a very daunting matchup for the Arizona Cardinals, who are probably going to make a quarterback switch at some point during the game today. So, you know, I'll be watching for that. And look, the numbers are not friendly. The Bears have only allowed 111 rushing yards so far, the second lowest total in the league. But they have to find a way to get David Johnson on track. Sometimes you've got to go against the grain.
Jim, rest of the season, more concerned about Hunt or David Johnson?
More concerned about Hunt than I am David Johnson. I'm with Scott. I do think that we do see a QB change in this game. I think the Mayfield change Thursday night helped spur that on. The team, you know, Arizona keeps saying, oh, we'll put him in when he's ready. We'll put him in when he's ready. Well, you know, at this point, we know Sam Bradford's not ready. Get him out of there. Put Rosen in. I think it gives this offense a little bit of a spark. See what happens. But, you know, David Johnson is – to me, a better runner than Hunt is. I mean, I just think he can do more on the ground if that's all his game is. If that's what they're limited to, I take Johnson over Hunt. I do think that Johnson, you know, gets more involved in the passing game quicker than Hunt does. So I have more concern over Hunt than I do Johnson.
I think
long term,
fair.
Not today. Today against Chicago is definitely a tough matchup.
Yeah, I inadvertently, when we were talking about the backup running backs, I inadvertently left out Gio Bernard, but you have him at number 13, Scott. A good value, a really good value for DFS. I've always thought Gio Bernard is a very good player, just not a guy that can hold up to the rigors of a 16-game season when he's the workhorse back. But for a month, you got to like him, and he's a very dynamic back in the passing game. So Gio Bernard becomes a really valuable player over the course of the next month or more, and today against the Panthers as well.
Yeah, the Panthers have allowed 227 rushing yards so far. That is third most in the NFC. So this sets up a game as a good game for Bernard, despite the presence of Luke Kuechly. But they're still without Thomas Davis. Giovanni Bernard looking for his third consecutive game with a rushing touchdown versus an NFC team, and I think he gets it today.
Yeah, we keep going through it. Chris Thompson at 14. Scott mentioned earlier he really likes him to get involved in the passing game. Jordan Howard at 15, Fournette at 16. You can actually see him getting rested here. Jim and I talked about it earlier in the show. It's not somebody you bench, but I think you just got to be mindful of the fact that this is a guy that can be mitigated by the fact that he has a hamstring injury and they may not want to play him for the full game, especially going up against now Blaine Gabbert. Could give them a little bit more cushion. Carlos Hyde had a great game the other night. He came in at 17, 25 for 103 and two scores. Lamar Miller at 18, an interesting game for him here. He's a value in tournament plays. Matt Breida versus Corey Clement. Scott's got him right back-to-back here, Jim. Who would you rather play, Breida or Corey Clement?
I'm going to go with Breida. I'm not totally sold on Clement just because of the fact that he's also hurting and you know, that could definitely limit him, and that scares me a little. And again, one of the things I was talking about with George yesterday on the show is that I think that Josh Adams is going to be a huge surprise in this one for Philly. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he does a lot of the in-between the tackles running and even the goal line work.
Yeah, Scotty, you have another guy there that's become – he's become a little bit of a fantasy breakout guy through these first 2 weeks. It's not my favorite matchup, him playing in Baltimore, but Philip Lindsay – has become the starting back. He outsnapped Royce Freeman a lot last week. So Philip Lindsay becoming a viable option here for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, undrafted free agent. We didn't expect the undrafted free agent rookie to be the number one running back for them so far, you know, but that's the way it's been. You know, he's actually shown more spark in the running game than what we've seen from Royce Freeman. And he's definitely better as a pass receiver than Freeman is, that's for sure.
Yeah, he closes out with Collins, James White, and Isaiah Crowell had a two-touchdown night the other night. Please go to rotoexperts.com to see the rest of the rankings. Come back in hour number two. We'll talk wide receivers, tight ends, and more on the Fantasy Sports Today, the Game Day edition. Join us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.